Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. It's the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. I'm your host, Scott Ritzheimer, and there's a pattern that I see constantly. One where founders who've finally gone full-time, who are in their business, they're generating revenue, they're doing their thing, they've got clients, and they're drowning. They're the salesperson, the delivery person, the accountant, the marketer, the janitor, and everything in between. You wake up every morning, and the first thing you have to do is get through all the admin that you missed yesterday and the day before that, before the clients start and everything goes crazy. And so what do we do? How do we deal with it? How do we focus to grow? Especially because you have these ideas. You know that they're going to change the very nature of the game, but you just can't seem to get to them. And what's really challenging about this stage, what makes it so brutal, is that you're pretty good at the stuff that you do too. That's why folks have hired you. But you can't keep this up. You can't keep this cycle going. And so how do we shift this? How do we turn it around? I'd tell you if I knew, but I have something better for you. I've got the one and only John Witt, who's been doing this for 30 years. He's been helping founders to break this cycle. And he's also the author of the book Checkmate, Translating Ideas into Money. It's a book that uses chess as a metaphor for business strategy. John brings over 30 years of experience helping both corporations and small business owners shift their culture, boost their results, and improve profitability. As a leadership coach and business growth strategist, he specializes in assisting founders to move from high-stress hustle to structured, values-aligned scale. And he's here with us today. John, welcome to the show. So excited to have you here. Love the name of the book, Turning Ideas to Money. That is the game, isn't it? Why is that so hard to do?
Well, Scott, first off, let me say thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it. It's hard to do because most people haven't done it before. If you've done it, and again, when you think about translating ideas into money, or it's a goal. Starting a business is a goal. I want to start a business. I want to generate revenue. You've never done it before. I actually teach a program called Achieving Uncommon Events, because going from zero to a successful business is not all that common. There are a lot of people that go from zero to an unsuccessful business as opposed to successful. And it's a system and a process, and it's all brand new, and you're learning a lot really fast. And when you're learning a lot of times you make some mistakes. And man, you have to have some perseverance and some discipline, and you got to keep getting back up and getting in the fight, because if you give up, it's over.
Yeah. One of the things that you talk, I've heard you talk about, is this idea of judgment mode. And it's something that keeps us stuck even when we have good ideas. What is judgment mode and why is it so dangerous?
Well, it's a preset condition. Instead of an open mind, it's a fixed mind. So judgment mode shows up when I'm working with a client, and I've worked with many of them in this space, and sometimes this is what we have to get through first. And I'll say, so you want to save some time. You need to get some more time. So why don't we hire a virtual assistant? Right? That's a real common process. They'll say, oh, no, I can't do that. I've already tried that. It doesn't work. Well, see, they tried it. That's true. And it didn't work. That's true. But that doesn't mean they did it right. So really, they're kind of stuck. And so when somebody says no or that doesn't work, that's like turning the light switch off. So then we have to say, okay, but well, maybe, you know, there are other people that have done this and had made it work. You think maybe you could try it a different way? And it could be any number of different things, but they're preset because they've made a decision that won't work. And it's false information. It's only in their head where it doesn't work.
Right. Right. Now you've got a framework in the book, the 5 key attributes for success that help to translate ideas into money. I'm wondering if you could just kind of briefly walk us through those and how someone could take that structure and start to put it to use today.
Yeah, absolutely. So step number one is clarity, and clarity is king. In the chess world, the queen is the most powerful piece on the board. In the business world, clarity is the most powerful piece on the board. And it's not clarity at the 60 or 70% level. You want to get it as high as you possibly can get it. You want to know what you're trying to accomplish, who you're going to do it with. There's a whole litany of things that you want to work with. And the second step is team, people. And sometimes you need some people to help you figure out the clarity, because you don't know all the answers, right? So most solopreneurs, they start out, they're not a marketing expert. they probably should bring somebody from marketing onto their team to help them answer the marketing type questions.
Right.
So we have clarity and again, super detailed. Bring the marketing team, bring the person on board, and then we get into testing and validation. And that's typically the step that gets skipped first, right? Let's spend a little money. I know it's tough when you're getting started, you're a solopreneur, you're not like you got a lot of money left over, but let's spend a little money and make sure that we're going to get the results that we want. And based on those responses, we can go back and we can make some changes, or we can go forward and build a plan to launch our product, our idea, our business, our service. So the fourth step is plan, and it's a strategic plan. It's not just, let's do X, Y, and Z things. Really, what are the things that are most important to do, when to do it, who needs to do it? So your team is going to change often very frequently through the process. And then the last step is absolutely critical, and that's a change management system. Because you don't get to decide what comes in the door tomorrow, right? Adversity shows up. You don't get to decide when it shows up. You get to decide how you want to respond. But if you're not paying attention, then you don't notice the change in the first place. That means you can't respond and you end off course. And so frequently, especially with a business, especially when you get started, you need to have a weekly change management cadence. In the manufacturing world that I grew up in way back when, we're making big products, a big manufacturing facility. And so there'd be lots of people that say, well, I wish it would do this, or I wish it would do that. Sales guys came in and said, yeah, they wanted to change the product because the consumer wants something a little bit different, but they couldn't just willy-nilly change everything. So they'd have a change control board where, whoever was looking for the idea had to fill out all the information and go to the board, and then they would, decide whether they wanted to accept that or not. I'm not saying that you need a change control board as a solopreneur, but a system and a process that reviews what you're doing, where you're going on a frequency basis so that you don't end up off course.
Yeah.
Those are the five steps.
As folks hear that, there's kind of this visceral reaction to, that's five steps that I don't have time for. So how do you start spinning that that snowball, if you will, in the right direction? Where can you use these five steps to actually create time to do the five steps right?
Well, okay, so create time. That's the first objective. And for many of these solopreneurs, that is without a doubt the first objective. And that's what I try to help them do, because that's where they get a little breath. That's where they can reduce a little stress. But we'll say, okay, well, let's bring on an assistant. Let's bring on a virtual assistant, or let's find somebody that we can delegate these things to. Well, A, they may not know how to do that. So there's got to be some training and coaching in that space. Or B, they're like, I can't afford that. So, okay, well, then we got to figure out, how do we get more money into the system? And you do a couple things. You can increase your sales conversion rate, right? Get better at sales. But that just means you have to sell more. So it takes more time to sell more. That's not going to be as effective. The most effective solution that I've found over 15 years is raise your prices. Raise your prices so that you can afford to hire an assistant. Now, most people say, well, I can't do that. My competitors, and they'll give you some story. And it's like, here's the thing. There are seven attributes. No, what is it? It's money is the seventh attribute in the buying decision. So there are six other attributes that are more important than money when it comes to making a buying decision. We want to sell on value. We want to sell on convenience. We want to sell on a lot of other things besides price, because we all make decisions to buy a better quality product or better system. We don't naturally run to the cheapest thing. We know better in many ways.
Yeah.
So let's figure out how to raise your prices. Now, there's a process for doing that. I don't think you can just like flip a switch and double your rates. But there is, you're letting your customers know, you're letting the marketplace know. It's a message. But if you could raise your prices by 10 or 15% or 20%, that probably pays for an assistant. Now you got 20 hours that you can spend some more time doing something else. And all of a sudden now we got the snowball going in a different direction.
Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first, I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at founderskiz.com. Again, that's founderskiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. Yeah, I love that. I love that the time value of money is such a big deal. It's such a clever thing, because most folks, especially in like professional services, are charging too little, especially for the amount of time that they're spending doing the work that they're doing.
So it's horrendous.
Yeah, what a great strategy. There's another thing that comes up. So let's say we've done it. Let's say we've got a little bit of time. We've got an idea that we're ready to execute on. But just saying we want to do it and actually going out and doing it are a couple different things, right? And so there's these stages to learning, and you've cited the four different stages to learning. But how do you get through that stage when you realize you have no idea what you're doing?
Yeah. Okay. So stage one is what I think it about. This is unconscious incompetence. Unconscious, I'm not aware. I'm incompetent. I don't even know what I'm unaware about. And so what owners have to do, founders, is they have to put themselves in positions to where they can get exposed to net new information, net new ideas, net new concepts on a frequency basis. That's not 40 hours a week. Maybe that's a couple hours. Maybe you're at a conference. Maybe you're here. Maybe there's a lot of places where you can get exposed to different information. And depending on what your idea is and what your service is, maybe there's an association. Maybe there's a trade show. Maybe there's a couple different ways you could do it. But you have to invest that time, or else you'll never get the direction, the guidance that you're looking for. And you're going to get exposed to hundreds of things. That doesn't mean you need to do 100 things.
Right.
But once you're exposed, now you can make a decision. Oh, out of those 100 things, I think this one's interesting. And now it's in your control. So you can decide whether you want to go do it. But you have to put yourself in stuff. You know, the great example is AI, right? So AI is just killing everybody right now. And it's been a couple years, right? There were a lot of businesses that weren't aware of the AI, call it revolution, until the last 6 months. And they're behind the curve. However, if you had put yourself in a situation where you could be with people, learn from technologists, you would have found out about a lot sooner, and you would have started to figure out, hey, how does this fit into my business sooner?
Right, right. That's really important. I've actually found that something that folks, one of the reasons why it's so underdeveloped and underutilized at this stage is because we missed the need for it in the previous stage. Everyone's in such a rush to get out there, start their business, do the thing, hang the shingle, you know, bring in the revenue, that they don't take the time to set up that learning environment, and they pay for it in the long run. Love the way that you brought that back into the equation here, because it's so easy to miss. I've got a question that I want to get to in just a moment, but one thing I want to do before we get there is you talk about this idea of a founder's trap, and our listeners who, especially those who tune into the show regularly, are overwhelmingly founders. And this is something that, I mean, we all faced at some point in time. So tell us, what is the founder's trap? How do we know if we're in it, and what do we do to get out?
So the founder's trap is a wonderful place to be, but it also keeps you stuck. It means that you've found a niche, that you've got a way to make money, it's consistent, it's sustainable. Maybe you have a small team and you're able to manage all of that yourself, and you've got a consistent revenue stream coming in. And some founders just say, hey, look, this is fine. This is all I want. But some people want something more than that. Well, now the question is, how do I scale, right? So how do I, and there's two ways to scale. You can scale with technology and you can scale with people. And generally you're scaling with both. But now let's say you have a team of five and you can kind of watch over them on a frequent basis. You know what they're doing. You can correct them, et cetera, et cetera. But what happens if you want to go to a team of 20? You're not going to be able to look over their shoulder and watch, right? So now you have to bring in some leaders, right? And so now you have to learn to lead leaders. So when you want to scale, and when you bring that extra people in, you're going to have to bring in additional processes. You're going to have to be able to teach them and train them and help them grow to the next level. And so it's really systems and processes that are associated with people and technology that allow us to scale beyond that small founder's space. And like I say, it's only a trap because you're stuck there until you do something else.
Mm. Yeah. John, there's a question that I ask all my guests, and I'm interested to see what you have to say. And the question is this: what would you say is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching and listening today knew?
Well, you know, it's a secret because most people don't know it, but that doesn't mean nobody knows it. And I think it's a two-part secret. The first one is generosity. generosity goes a long way in many, many ways. I mean, it covers a lot of errors, it covers a lot of mistakes, it covers a lot of whoops. The idea is to be generous with your time and your talent, and I would say your treasure, and that will come back to you and your business in the long run. Generosity always, always, always delivers better long-term results. And the second one that kind of goes along with that, and this is where people get tangled up, you know, if they have an employee that comes in and has an issue or a problem or a grudge or, you know, wants to change something, the owner feels like they have to respond right away. And I wish everybody would learn the art of the pause, which is to pause and say, hey, listen, I hear you. I understand. We need to have a conversation about this, but now's not the right time. I want to give it the time it deserves. Let's set some time for this afternoon, or let me get back to you with a better time. And so that stops you from spontaneously saying something inaccurate or wrong or inflammatory. You know, it all happens, right? If you have that pause, that little pause, then you have the time to think through what's the right response. Yeah. There's a little bit of time between stimulus and response. The better you use that time, the better results you're going to have.
So true. It's so true.
John, there's some folks listening and they want to know more. How can they find out more about the work that you do and where can they connect with you or get a copy of your book?
Well, the book's on Amazon. It's called Checkmate, Translating Ideas into Money. And if you search amazon.com/author/John Witt, you'll go right to the page. My website is Business Witt. It's a play on my last name, businesswit.com. So www.businesswit.com. There are places where you can see all the different tools and strategies and things that we have. There's a lot of, I would say, free stuff there too. And then there's certainly a contact us space. So if you want to spend some time and have a conversation, you can certainly do that. I'd be happy to do that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, John, thanks for being on the show today. Really was a privilege and honor having you here. I really enjoyed this conversation. And for those of you watching and listening, you know, your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this episode as I know I did, and I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use #StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.